Welcome to episode 19 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Michael.
And I'm Gemma.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 10th and the 14th of December 2012.
Yep, there's also, it's not just Christmas, it's also a special anniversary because it is CoriBlog's 5th birthday.
Yes. Happy anniversary to Coronation Street blog. What a brilliant job you do.
Yeah, coronationstreetupdate.blogspot.co.uk. They've been going for 5 years, and if we can go for as long, I'd be pretty pleased with that.
Yeah,
that'd be good. So congratulations to you guys.
Yeah, you keep up the good work.
Long may continue.
Another interesting bit of news for me, at least. We got a new like on Facebook today from somebody from Nepal.
Yeah, Nepal, that is a long way away.
Yeah, so I didn't even realise that they had Coronation Street there. But anyway, there we go. Hello to our new Nepalese listener.
Hello. Let's get on with street talk.
Yeah. Okay, so the main storyline this week has obviously been Peter and Carla's return. It's been the first time since we've been doing the podcast that we've been able to talk about them.
So yeah, because Carla's actually one of my favourite characters, I think.
Yeah, so we'll start with them in a minute.
Yeah.
We've also had...
a little bit of a fling.
Yeah, Stella and Jason...
shenanigans.
Taking it up a notch a bit. Dennis versus Steve getting a bit silly.
Epic battle. He's like watching The Hobbit.
Which one's The Hobbit?
No, I mean, because there's like an epic battle.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, good versus evil.
It was a bit today with the army of Lollipop Men. We've had a little bit of Tyrone and Kirsty, not so much this week. Same with David and Kylie, they were in it more at the beginning of the week. And
another comedic storyline.
Yeah, just as the Lollipop Men storyline is winding down, we get Kirky's Turkeys by the end of the week.
Yeah, so let's start off with Peter and Carla, which is an epic tale of woe and betrayal. Which also involves, obviously, Nick and Leanne and Simon.
It all started with Leanne and Nick getting very excited about this wedding in Las Vegas and Leanne discovering that Las Vegas is in the desert.
I know, what a bloody idiot.
Yeah, I think she probably would know
I
that,
I think
actually.
She would know.
Eva's trying to kind of get in between it by saying that, oh, Stella's gutted that she can't go there. She's like trying to get them to rearrange.
Yeah, she sort of tries to sort of insert a little... I don't know. She tries to cause problems.
Yeah, because she wants to have Nick all for herself.
Yeah.
Well, they're all getting ready to go and get into a taxi saying their goodbyes when who should show up? They have the old car pulling up, feet getting out, pan up, and it is Carla and Peter back from island hopping on the Caribbean.
Exactly.
Right for some.
And Carla has dyed her hair.
Well, I couldn't tell that very much. She was looking a bit browner in the hair.
Well, she used to have black hair, didn't she? Now she's got brown hair.
Yeah, we did have something wrong our TV the other day, though. I think everything looked a bit orange.
No, I think she's got brown hair now. It's supposed to reflect her more mellow character, but towards the end of the week, I think she's going to be dyeing it black again.
and Peter's got a lovely beard.
Peter looks like some kind of salty sea dog or something.
He is a salty sea dog.
Like a little kind of wizened old cheery pirate.
He's come back extremely laid back and relaxed
smug.
And yeah, like
holier than thou. But
he's really sanctimonious.
He always
this week,
was sanctimonious, though, wasn't he? He was always just
when he wasn't on the booze.
Annoying. Yeah, even then he was annoying.
Yeah, so he's been.
Anyway, we'll talk about why.
Yeah, well, Simon's obviously very happy that they're back, and he's decided he doesn't want to go off to America anymore.
No, he wants to stay with his dad.
Yeah, so they've had to. They ended up having to postpone it because they all went round to number one to have a bit of a chinwag and a catch up.
Yeah, and Peter says he's born again, and everyone starts going, "Oh my god!" I know, not like that. Like, I want to put everything that I've done wrong. I want to put it right because I'm in a different place than I was before. Me and Carla are both totally groovy now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Leanne's getting very, very frantic, and she doesn't like the idea that these two have come back and thrown a spanner in the works.
Yeah, because Simon's going, "I'm not going. I'm staying here with Peter." And then Leanne loses her mind and says she's not going, and the wedding's off. So Nick's obviously a bit upset about it because he thinks Peter's winning.
Yeah, Leanne's letting Peter win.
And then Ken admonishes Carla and Peter for coming unannounced.
Yeah, but Carla does say that it was all Peter's idea.
It wasn't anything to do with
No, all the way through the week, you can tell she doesn't really want to be there.
She doesn't want to be there at all. She'd rather probably be dead. And she does say at one point that she's going to end up dead if she stays on the street anymore.
Yeah. So Carla goes over to the factory and starts to try and run the place.
She walks in on a meeting with a bunch of samples and starts criticising them, saying they're really...
Yeah, there's these big Bridget Jones knickers, basically, aren't they?
Yeah, going, oh, once you go down market, that's the end of it.
Yeah, so Rob kind of quickly shows this client out, and Carla spends a bit of time trying to call the shots and just kind of move back exactly where she was.
She tries to, but she still feels that she doesn't fit in anywhere, really. She doesn't fit in back at the factory, and she didn't fit in with Peter and his family.
Yeah, she can't. Once everyone's gone, she's kind of kicking around alone there. She finds the bottle of booze.
Yeah, she tries to... Well, Peter comes in and suggests the idea of staying a bit longer, and that's when she really starts to hit the bottle. But before that happens, Nick rebooks the wedding for Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas storyline.
In a small country hotel.
Lovely. They didn't mention there was a cancellation, but
there
can
must
only
have been
assume
a last there must have been a last-minute cancellation. Somebody probably got a good offer for a wedding in Las Vegas and decided to go to that instead.
So next episode, Carla's still insistent that she wants to return to LA. She doesn't fit in. She's got all these memories of the rape.
Well, she says that, but she also kicks Rob out of the office because he demands an apology and makes him head of distribution, which, as far as I can see, puts him in charge of Kirk and Kirsty.
Yeah, so Kirk gets to show him the ropes again. Kirk's getting quite good at trailing people up.
Yeah, but Rob saves the day by showing Carla how to use her computer, and so she lets him back in the office.
Yeah.
Simon gets recast as the narrator in the school play, which is an excellent job, if I do say so myself.
Yeah.
And Carla gets given the job of picking Simon up from school.
Oh, yeah.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah, because Peter can't make it.
He's stuck in traffic, which to me means he's already on his way.
I think that maybe Dennis must be causing a bit of a problem.
Wow, yeah. So she goes, he accuses her of drinking. He doesn't smell the alcohol in her breath, it's the mint that he smells.
Yeah, so she can't even have a mint.
No. They sort of have a tussle and she pulls over.
Scrapes her knee, doesn't she?
She rips her jeans, which really was the tragedy of the scene, because God knows how much those jeans cost, knowing Carla.
Yeah, so they all go back to the street, and then Simon tells Leanne about everything that's been going on. And
he has Carla's keys in his hand.
He would wind me up so much when he was in my car.
I used to think he was really sweet and cute, but the older he gets, the more he starts to grate on me, I think.
He's
been very manipulative this week.
Yeah, definitely.
But we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, because they had a fight. Leanne and Carla.
Oh, yeah, they do. They have a proper fight because...
That was a good thump started that off.
Well, it starts off with Leanne confronting Carla and keeps giving her a shove.
Yeah.
And then Carla sort of keeps taking it. Everyone's watching, and then she gives her a shove back, and then Leanne gives her a right hook.
That was a proper Battersby punch, that was.
Blimey, was it? And then she ends up in the gutter, basically, because Carla calls her Baron.
Yeah, and she mocks Leanne that she'd stolen Peter off her.
Yeah, she pushes her right in the gutter, and then Carla realises that, basically, that's where, on the street, she belongs in most people's eyes, in the gutter. So she thinks, I can't stay here. But Peter's still trying to sort of go, well, you know, I think I would quite like to stay a bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the end of the episode, she's moaning that she never gets her way and it's always Peter that makes the decisions.
It's a bit like what was going on with Tina and Tommy, where he kept telling her over and over again and she wouldn't listen to him. And it's the same thing's happening now because Carla has explained over and over again in meticulous, minute detail all the reasons why she particularly doesn't want to stay on the street, which are fairly good reasons.
Yeah, Peter's just not listening.
He goes in one ear and it sort of like swirls around like a goldfish in a bowl looking for food or something and then pops out the other side.
Yeah. Well, she goes AWOL that night, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And the next episode, Peter's worried about where she is, but it turns out that she's been... at the police station.
Well, she winds up staying with Michelle.
Yeah.
But she got arrested for being drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, but why have you been drinking? And she's like, because I don't want to be here anymore. She says, I don't want to go back to my flat because it's not my home. It's where he raped me.
Yeah.
My door is where he held me up against by my throat. And Pete's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, that was ages ago. I've got rid of that script.
Well, I think in the end, she manages to convince him that they should go.
He keeps saying, oh, it'll change over time. She's like, well, exactly how long do I need to give this? Because I'm going mental.
Yeah.
She says, I'm going to be dead. I was happy in LA. And he starts to listen, like you say.
Yeah, then so they tell Simon, and then Simon goes off on one of the
stuff. Peter goes and says to Simon, I can't stay.
Yeah, and Simon calls him a liar and says, Nick's my new dad now, which is a bit of a sort of a punch in the face
Peter. Well, yeah. Leanne doesn't help.
No, Leanne's been a bitch all week.
She's like going, oh, well, Peter, just typical, you're going to break his heart, oh, how's he going to react? Is he going to react when she's standing there telling him that he's going to have a paddy about it? Of course he's going to have a paddy.
She's been really stirring things this week, Leanne. I don't know whether we're supposed to be on her side or not.
Well, from her point of view, it makes perfect sense why she'd be cross. But she's sanctimonious as well.
Yeah,
the pair of them are just, they belong together, really. Peter and Leanne are just so sanctimonious.
Yeah.
Leanne accuses Peter of putting Carla ahead of Simon. Simon guesses it's because of Carla, and he knows that he's not going to see Peter anymore if he leaves.
Mm.
So
in today's episode, Carla's booked the flight to leave
today. Yeah, she said, I'm going this afternoon.
Yeah, and he kind of agrees that maybe that's for the best. He compares it to pulling off a plaster quickly, just sort of getting out of there.
He's just a sniveling yes man, isn't he? Everything she says, he's like, yes, 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 yes.
Well, he wasn't at the beginning of the week. We were just saying that at the beginning of the week, he was the one that wasn't listening to her. And he's saying, oh, we should stay.
Yeah, but listen to what I'm saying. He's just going, yes, 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 but I'm still getting my own way. Like, he's nodding. But it's not going in.
No, definitely not.
It doesn't make any difference what she said. She could say, I can't stay here because there's a man trying to kill me and he's put a booby trap on my car and there's a poison in my tea and I'm just about to drink it. And he'd be like, yeah, stay a minute. Just drink up, love. We've got to go.
Well, before they go, he goes and tries to see Simon, but yeah, I won't let him. And then he goes and sees Ken.
Ken's like, oh, Peter.
Peter reminds Ken that Ken abandoned him and Susan up in Scotland when they
were little. He's like, Simon's not going to hold it against me just because I'm abandoning. Like, you abandoned me all those years ago. I've forgiven you. Oh, wait, actually.
But then they wind up at the airport and then Leanne discovers that Simon has done a bunk from school.
Yeah, she gets very paranoid. Yeah. She phones, Brian phones her up and she starts shouting at him. And she suspects that Peter's sort of kidnapped him. So he phones him at the airport and Carla says, let's just check in anyway.
Yeah, she doesn't like, care. She's like,
But Simon runs in, which I thought was quite sweet for a while.
It was. I was quite surprised about how he got there. How did they say he got here?
He got the bus because the train was too expensive.
Oh, yeah. He's very sad and apologetic.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, on the phone. Sorry, Mom, really sorry. And I felt really sorry for him for a minute. But then he basically forces Peter to decide. Well, Carla and Simon, it's basically the thing like you do with a dog, where you both stand one end of
come
the room.
Come to the one you love.
Come on, come over here.
Except Carla's getting further away on the travelator.
Yeah, so Carla cries. She can't stay.
Did you be surprised that he stayed with Simon?
No. Not at all. But when the thing is, Carla's there crying, off on the travelator. Peter turns around and Simon's like, "You're right, Dad. Let's go then." Like,
yeah,
he's got absolutely no empathy whatsoever, and no like emotional.
No, he's
intelligent.
He's not. He needs some PSHE lessons at school.
Seriously though, that kid is. It was really bad.
Spoiled.
I don't think they meant. I think it was just either badly directed or badly acted. I don't think you can accuse this more child. Acting badly because he's been a good actor.
Yeah, he has.
But I just think that scene made him look like some kind of manipulative psychopath. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if it turned out that he was actually an evil genius?
They should have had him like turn around to the camera, kind of going.
My plan is coming together.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for Carla though.
I feel sorry for her.
Simon has never liked her.
No, and she can't. You can't win in a situation like that. She knows that no matter how much Peter loves her and how much she loves him back,
yeah,
there's always that bond between him and Simon that will never, she'll never be able to get.
Yeah, Simon's always going to comfort.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that storyline ended with her.
Her going off and then.
Off into the distance and him back to Weatherfield and announcing to everyone that he's staying and
Nick
fatherhood
going,
is priority.
Yeah, Nick's like, I'm so glad you're going to stay, Peter. We are going to be best friends. Be my best man. And then Peter says, no, I can't be your best man because I'm giving Leanne away at the wedding.
Did that really happen?
No. No, I think I fell asleep.
Right, what's been the other storyline this week? Oh, Stella and Jason.
Won't she?
Yeah, so.
Well, Stella.
At the beginning of the week, Mandy decides to get Stella a man and she tells Eileen and they have their little getting their heads together
little
to decide who would be the best kind of person to go out with Stella.
Vince.
Yeah, so.
Immediately, the first person I thought of was Vince. I don't know if you know him, he's really funny. He's a fireman. He's Paul's mate. He's hilarious.
Yeah, so.
He says what he means.
He certainly does. Well, on the next episode, they have this date with Vince and he's a bit of a.
Loudmouth.
Yeah, a bit of a loudmouth, bit of a comedian.
He's also rude to the bistro staff.
Yeah,
she storms out of the date. Basically,
yeah, well, Carl's watching with interest, isn't he?
Because he's at the bar.
He's at the bar, kind of looking there, ha ha ha.
Yeah, and he follows her back to the pub and buys her a drink and says, "I miss you, I miss you."
Yeah, he says that Stanita's no comparison to Stella. He thinks that he's going to win her back by the end of the week. But
he sees that she's lonely. Yeah,
yeah, little does he know that there's somebody else there that's much more enticing.
Yeah, well, the next episode, she receives a lovely bunch of flowers, which she says is from Vince, but it's actually from Carl.
Yeah.
So she goes around there and gives him back and shouts at him.
Yeah.
And he says he loves her.
Yeah, well, she doesn't. She looks a little bit unsure when she's saying that she doesn't. Want to be
yeah,
with
well,
anymore.
He says, "Oh, come for a Mexican with me."
Yeah.
And she goes, "I don't know if I like Mexican food because I'm in Coronation Street and it's all very exotic to us."
Mm-hmm.
So she looks. She doesn't actually say she's going to turn up, but she does get herself ready.
Yeah, but meanwhile, over at the Rovers, Jason's showering her with compliments, saying how lovely she looks and everything.
He says she's well fit.
Yeah, and then he goes in for a kiss.
Yeah, it looked actually quite. Painful that kiss. It was very full on.
Mm. She reminds him that she's old enough to be his mum, but they carry on anyway, and then they go upstairs. It's a bit of a weird one. This
what was
story
the one line. That happened? It was another one where they kept two characters ended up.
Maria and Marcus.
Maria and Marcus. Yeah, it's all that all over again, isn't it?
This is more cringy than that.
Well, it's just kind of shorthand, isn't it, for this relationship. It's not a serious thing.
Yeah, they've gone upstairs.
They've gone upstairs together.
Yeah, also at the beginning of today's episode, Carl's moping on the sofa because Stella obviously didn't turn up to this date. And Sunita obviously has no idea what's going on.
Completely oblivious. Like in the episode before, Carl had given her Stella's rejected flowers and she'd given him money to go out, little knowing that he had arranged to meet Stella. So she's being strung along, basically.
Do you feel sorry for Sunita at all? She kind of deserves
it. She's made her bed and now she can lie in it.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Jason's come down in his
little tighty blackies. And he gets shoved out the door unceremoniously.
Yeah,
when Eva walks in unannounced with broken shoes.
Comedy scene.
Yeah.
Trying to get back to his mum's house. Nobody sees seeing him, but
Katie does
and gives him a wolf whistle.
Yeah, and so does
Eileen.
So does Paul.
Eileen and Paul catch him. Yeah.
Well, he walks in.
Yeah. With says don't ask.
Yeah. So a little bit later, Stella comes round to apologise.
No, you've missed a bit. You've missed the Carl going round and asking Stella why she didn't turn up, and then she says that she's got somebody else, somebody much better, and she had a lot more fun with him last night. Than she and Carl did throughout the entire 6 years. And she didn't have to fake anything last night, which is a bit too much information.
Yep, a little bit.
So it's important to share on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys need to know this. So Stella goes around, as I said, to apologise to Jason and is caught in an uncompromising position by Eileen.
Yeah, they're having a bit of a grope on the sofa.
And she gets very mad about it.
Yeah, she accuses Stella of taking advantage of Jason.
I know, for goodness sake, Jason's the big.
Yeah, he is 29. I think Eileen kind of forgets this. I mean, as gross as it is that he's seeing Stella, I think Eileen's...
I don't think it's gross. I think it's funny. Well, she kind of, like, gets all very matriarchal about it, doesn't she?
Yeah, then starts shouting down the street.
Yeah.
Only to have Gail, of course, happens to be there listening in with great interest.
Going, ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
Laughing her bum off.
And then she manages to tell Carl...
Yes.
...about Stella's new man.
In the pub, she lets it slip, much to Norris's excitement.
Yeah.
Stella's just so hung up about this age difference, she thinks they should break up. But
Jason's like, I don't care, you're Jason convinces sexy.
Her. So they come out together, and Stella rings a bell to tell everybody and announce their
as if everyone courtship. Really, if anyone really cares, I think.
Well, half the pub were random lollipop people who were like, well, let's not come back here again. This is a bit weird.
Yeah, so
that's how that storyline ended.
And who knows where it's going to go from there. What do you think?
Next year, September, Jason, Stella.
Oh, she can't be pregnant.
No, it'd be funny if she did.
It's obviously going to break Jason's heart again.
I don't know. How much older is Ken than Deirdre? I know they both look older.
20, 30 years, isn't it?
Well, there you go, see?
Oh, but yeah, but they're obviously not going to stay together. It's just silly.
Well, Stella should enjoy it while it lasts then, really.
Yeah.
So there you go, Stella, that's our advice to you.
Dennis versus Steve has been the next storyline. The other funny storyline of the week. There was basically a Mexican standoff between Dennis and Steve at the beginning.
They're best winding each other up.
Yeah, Dennis won't let him drive his car past. Steve calls him a fascist. And later on, Dennis goes around to streetcars to complain. Rita tries to book a taxi to take her to the theatre, but Steve has barred Dennis from using his taxi. So they're all being very, very petty to one another.
Well, when he comes to the cabin,
Steve, yeah,
Rita, he calls Rita a sugar mummy, and then she bans him from the shop along with all of the streetcars employees, which it would include Eileen, wouldn't it?
Does Eileen still work there?
I don't know anymore.
Can't remember. Steve complains to Brian. He says that
Because Brian is obviously in charge of all the lollipop men.
Yeah.
That Brian says, like, I don't care about the lollipop men. It's nothing to do with me. He's been being horrible to the children.
And threatened them with his stick.
Yeah. So Brian says, well, in that case, I must do something about it.
Yeah.
And confronts Dennis, and Dennis just goes, well, I quit then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not having this nonsense. I'm too old for this rubbish.
Yeah, and then the next day, he's sort of moping around.
I was actually shocked he had still resigned, because there's so many times in Coronation Street where they end on a cliffhanger with somebody going, oh, I resign, and the next episode they're there.
Yeah, not really.
Only joking.
Did you hear him saying the knacker's yard
line in the next episode? Yeah,
which was, now we were talking about that last week in our classic character profile, so it's nice to have that brought
little
back.
Reminder.
Yeah.
Well, Malcolm, his mentor, his lollipop man mentor, has a plan to fight fire with fire, which is revealed in today's episode when there is a city-wide lollipop man conspiracy to slow down all of the streetcars.
Only
taxis.
In Coronation Street could they actually have a storyline about a lollipop man conspiracy.
Yeah, it's like the lollipop man mafia.
Yeah.
So Steve and Lloyd go to tell Dennis to knock it off, and he says, well, Steve should apologise, but Steve won't.
Yeah.
So then, a military procession of lollipop people.
It was like something off Doctor Who. It was like the Cybermen sort of trudging down the streets. It was. Dum, 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 dum.
I had no idea that there was marching involved in being a lollipop person.
Only when they're angry.
Well, they blockade Steve's taxi.
Yeah, they managed to get him to apologise. Brian turns up on his bike. And then the truth comes out that Steve was just making it up all along.
And they all live happily ever after.
Yeah, and then Beth thinks that it's a gay pride.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
The end.
Yeah, so bit of a comedy distraction, but I don't think that's going to be a particularly memorable storyline in years to come. Do you think that Dennis is going to stick as his at the job now?
Why not?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think he probably will.
I think it adds a bit of...
It's nice that he's got a job.
It's a bit tiresome that they keep going on about male lollipop, whatever, operatives, or whatever they're called, as though they're a rare oddity. But they're not,
do
really.
They?
Well, they keep making out that it's funny that he's a lollipop man.
Well, they just think that that Steve's just making out that the job of a lollipop person in general is to be mocked, male or female.
Well, there's not very many. There were very few lollipop ladies.
Yeah.
In the scene of the procession.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, so there we go, there's that storyline. We've had a bit of Tyrone and Kirsty. They went off for a date on Monday night.
Tyrone did not want to go.
No, and he also turned down Kirsty's advances for an early night when they came back. Who was it they had babysitting? Oh yeah, nice to have Julie in it.
Julie was popping chocolates in her mouth when they came in, watching a movie, tucked up on the chair, having the time of her life.
Yeah, and that was all that Kirsty was in it this week, because the rest of it's just been more kind of secretive goings on between Tyrone and Fizz.
Yeah, whisper in the ginnels.
Well, Tyrone tells Roy, who's struggling on his own at the cafe, that Fizz would can't work for him.
Employee.
Yeah, so she is very happy with that, and it's nice to see Fizz working at the cafe.
Yeah.
I think she's really well suited there, because she gets on well with members of the public. And Fizz and Roy are like a really good sort of pairing together.
Yeah.
Because when Fizz came in, she was like Roy's foster daughter.
Yeah.
So they work really well together. So it's nice. It'll be nice to see some more cafe scenes with them. Was it in yesterday's episode that Chesney overhears Fizz and Tyrone talking in the ginnel, sort of having a whisper about
having
their secret plans?
Conspiracy. Yeah, so
Chesney jumps to the conclusions. And
yeah,
thinks,
his first reaction is they must be having an affair.
Yeah, we're in Coronation Street. Everyone's having an affair.
So I'm going to threaten to tell Kirsty.
Yeah.
So Fizz says, don't tell Kirsty, you total nut job.
Do you think that they should let Chesney in on what's going on?
Yes. Well, she's going to him, I can't tell you what and I can't tell you why. You just must trust me that there is something happening to Tyrone that requires me to whisper to him in the ginnels.
I don't know whether Ches would be able to keep the secret.
No, he's going to tell Katie or something, or he's going to try to investigate it himself and inadvertently spill everything.
But even if he was told the truth by Fizz and then asked not to say anything, I still don't think he'd be able to keep the secret. I think he would tell Katie, and then probably Katie might get a bit outraged about it. And
well, something's gonna must be happening at Christmas.
Hmm.
Because it's too good of an opportunity to pass up.
I hope Tyrone gets a turkey around the head or something at Christmas.
Oh my God, a frozen turkey around the head could actually kill him. And he is the nation's favourite soap actor.
Yeah, at the moment, yeah. So that's been all right this week. It's not been a main storyline, but it's been nice that it's still going on.
Yep.
David and Kylie have had a little bit of a storyline early on in the week.
David woke up, passed out on Tina's sofa.
Yeah, and he's worried.
He stayed over.
Yeah, Kylie's worried that he's copped off with somebody. But Gail says no, he's very loyal. And Tommy goes over to see Tina, and David walks out of the bedroom half naked. There's been lots of people walking around half naked this week in Coronation Street.
I think
Street.
It must be the sadistic producers, because really, it's not the right time of year to have your soap actors wandering around in the nuddy.
No, so he goes off and tells Kylie, and
Kylie
storms
comes
around,
running along,
banging on the door with her shoe.
And they, she breaks in, basically.
I know, with the crowbar, doesn't she? Yeah, David nearly gets a crowbar in the face.
Well, They break out the old emergency script. It's not what it seems. You've got it all wrong. It's not what it looks like.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually say what it is.
No. That's what, because it's the same standard script, you see.
Yeah.
They can't explain what actually happens, because then they would better use it every time.
In the bistro, Kylie forces Tommy into a kiss, and David just thinks it's a bit sad, really.
She's trying to get back at him.
Could get back at him, yeah.
Well, you missed out a bit where Gary's there as well, when he explains that Tina's a surrogate. And Kylie says it's a bit sick.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what the explanation as to why it can't possibly be that Tina and David are having an affair is because Tina's actually pregnant with Gary's baby.
Mm.
So Kylie thinks it's sick, and she keeps bringing it up. It's a bit weird. And David says, well, you're the expert in selling babies.
Oh, yeah. That's a low blow.
So in the next episode, Kylie's saying she's going to leave by the end of the week, and Gail says, oh, I think David should move out, actually, because I'd rather keep Max around.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so he goes and lives with Leanne and Nick, but doesn't show up through any of the other Leanne and Nick storylines.
Well, I would keep my head down if I was involved with anything to do with Leanne. And anytime Peter arrives, I'd get the hell out of her way.
Yeah. So that's that's all going ahead. I think something big is going to happen there at Christmas.
There's a little bit about Lewis, sort of.
Oh yeah, Lewis has been there. So there's still nothing really happening.
Well, he's got.
He's
to
on the
mend
now.
He says, "I was like a sparrow in your care, but now I must fly the coop." And she goes,
Oh, Lewis,
what a brave soldier.
You've got such a way with words.
Yeah,
finally, this week, should we talk about Kirky's turkeys?
Yes. Beth.
This is the comedy storyline to Christmas, everybody.
Beth is under the strange idea that when you go out with somebody, they buy you lavish gifts.
That doesn't happen.
That really doesn't happen. And I'm sure that we all know that. She finds a lovely necklace she wants in the magazine, and Kirk decides the best way to get it for her is to sell frozen turkeys, because Chesney gives them a bit of a tip that somebody's got 200 of them needs shifting.
Haven't they had this storyline before?
It was the fire alarms, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly the same as that.
Yeah,
and that storyline didn't. Nothing happened with it.
I think there were even. Was there 500 of them?
I don't know.
I can't remember. Anyway, there's no chance of them malfunctioning in Kent. Well, actually, there is. There could be.
Maybe the storylines will merge and turkeys will catch fire and then the.
Yeah, because they've been plumped with. Flammable material.
Well, Kirk get his turkeys today, and they managed to find a way of getting Craig back into the storyline.
Beth's little son.
Yeah, if anyone's forgotten who he is, he's back being kind of Kirk's business partner.
He was basically Kirk's Alan Sugar.
Yeah, because we all know that Kirk hasn't really been blessed with very many brains, and he's not got very much of an idea what he's going to do.
I was
quite surprised that he's still got the keys for the butchers. I'm surprised that nobody's actually bought the butchers yet. Kirk can still get in. There's no electricity in there.
Kirk's bright idea was to put them in the freezer, forgetting that there wasn't any electricity.
Yeah.
So they rig up an elaborate chain of... extension cords coming out of Beth's flat.
Yeah, going on from the bookies all the way across the road. Now, surely that wouldn't work.
It would work for a while, but as soon as water gets in it, everyone would die.
Yeah, and I don't think they...
Well, it was just for a laugh.
It was just for a laugh, but I don't think they're going to cover the actual health and safety aspects of it.
And it's very important, and everyone, please do not try this at home.
Yeah, if you're going to have a comedy storyline, do your health and safety check first.
Yeah, exactly. So, he has 200 of them. He's going to sell each one for £5 and make £1,000.
Yeah, as soon as Beth hears this, she's...
She's
well up for it, yeah.
Now, he has forgotten to put his outlays in there, because how much did he buy them for? And also the cost of the electricity.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not a businessman, as Craig realises when he offers to help him in return for 50%.
Mm.
And a free phone.
Yeah.
And Kirk's second mistake was to not negotiate as to whether that would be the gross or the profit.
Yeah, Kirk obviously doesn't watch The Apprentice.
No, and I do.
I think today was Craig had more lines than he's ever had since the beginning of the show.
If you added up all the lines he's ever said in every episode, it wouldn't be as many as he had today.
No.
Are they trying to introduce him as a regular?
Well, yeah, it seems like
he's I quite like him.
Yeah, because when he came in, I think he
was just a blob, wasn't he?
He was just
a little
blob, and he wasn't saying anything. He was just stroking his rat.
He was just there as, like, Beth's little comedic prop.
Yeah, definitely. So they seem to want to develop him now.
Yeah, I think he could make the perfect partner for Kirk.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Aw.
Dumb and Dumber.
Mm. So that's the story of Kirky's turkeys.
Yeah.
What will happen next? He's got under how long has he got to shift them? 10 days.
Yeah. I'm
not surprised nobody would buy
them. Do you think he's gonna like set the butchers on fire or
nobody's buying them because it's not blooming near Christmas yet.
No. We
wouldn't have room in the freezer.
No.
He needs to set some of them aside and start defrosting them.
Yeah.
Then he can sell them as fresh turkeys. I'll go in and help him. He needs to cut up some bits of oranges and stick them on the top, make them look, and put a bit of sprig of rosemary on it.
Yeah.
That'll sucker him in. You can charge £6 then.
Right, that'll do for Street Talk this week. Let's come back in a minute with a character profile.
Character profile this week is the lovely Carla Connor.
Yeah, it was either going to be Carla or Peter, basically, wasn't it? And you like Carla, so
Well, it's a good job we decided to do Carla, because she's popped off again.
Yeah.
for how long, I don't know. Carla Connor, character was born on the 3rd of January 1975. Her sibling is Rob Donovan.
Yeah, although previously, before Rob would join the programme this year, she said that she had a brother called Darren, so that's been retconned a little bit.
So Rob is her actual brother?
Yeah.
I thought you said he wasn't.
No.
I said today, is he her brother? And you went, not really.
Oh, well.
You weren't listening.
I wasn't listening.
Right, her spouses have included Paul Connor in 1999
Dead.
And Tony Gordon in 2008.
Dead.
So why is she still Carla Connor then? Hmm?
What do you mean?
Why did she go... What, if you're going to go back to a previous name after being married to a murderer, wouldn't you go back to Donovan?
Well, she obviously still loves Paul.
Carla Donovan.
She's been in...
Then your initials would be CD.
She's been in nearly 700 episodes since her first appearance on the 1st of December 2006, and she is played by Alison King.
Yeah, she was originally an actress in Footballers' Wives or something.
Oh, yeah, that's right, actually.
Because when she was going to be introduced, we were like, oh, God, who's this going to be in it? Some kind of London fancy lady.
Yeah.
With all her fancy hair coming in with her fancy handbags.
Yeah, well, I found a quote from a Corrie spokesperson when Carla first came into it. They said, "She'll make quite an impact. The phrase, dosh doesn't make you posh, was made for Carla. She's a wag on the cobbles, beautiful but tough and ambitious." I think that sums her up pretty well.
Do you think, I don't know if she's lived up to the dosh doesn't make you posh.
Well, she's not posh.
She's not a wag, though. No, but she doesn't pretend to be. I would imagine she'd describe herself as a Northern Lassie likes handbags, rather than somebody who thinks she's like a Sloane Ranger.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
She likes designer stuff, but that doesn't mean, these days, it doesn't mean that you think you're posh.
No, I think she's definitely kind of a bit of a cut above.
Oh, she thinks she's better than everyone else, that's for sure, but she doesn't think she's posh. I think there's a big difference.
Yeah. Let's go through some of her storylines then. Do you want to?
2006, she arrives on the street. Her husband, Paul, buys into Underworld and she fails to impress staff with her high-handed manner.
Yeah, she comes in and she wants to kind of run the place.
Well, this is what she did today, or earlier in the week.
Yeah, she's very confident in her own abilities, isn't she?
She doesn't really care. When it comes to business, she's got absolutely no sentiments about...
No, very cutthroat, isn't she?
Yeah, she'll just say what she means. She'll sack people for speaking up against her. She was perfectly happy to tell Rob, this week that she was going to sell the business so she could earn money to start a new business in America. Now, she's missing a total trick there because she could keep the profits coming in from doing absolutely nothing at Underworld and just get an actual job, not actually running a business. She could, she could work in PR. Can you imagine
that? Oh, she'd be really good at it.
She'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Especially with her accent. Americans don't know that that's a northern accent. They just think, oh, that sounds like she's from Harry Potter.
She wanted to build up a children's clothing business when she first came
into
it.
That really does not sound anything like Carla.
Oh, no, the amount that she seems to hate children at the moment.
I think Simon's put her off for life.
Yeah, but she couldn't anyway because she discovered that Paul had taken the money that she wanted to use. And so she's tries to do this business on the sly.
Yeah, she does,
at night, she convinces Kelly Crabtree and Joanne, who is one of the twins that weren't actually twins, to work early morning shifts and late night shifts. But they give up due to the lack of the free time and they're feeling a bit abandoned by their friends. Yeah. So she ends up getting some Polish workers to try and do it. So I mean, do you remember Vicky?
Yeah.
She was great. I was quite sad when she left. I thought she was just leaving kind of temporarily to go and see her family again, but she hasn't been seen since.
Well, it was like a time when lots of Polish workers were coming to the UK.
Yeah, it was quite topical, wasn't it?
Yeah, very topical.
And so Vicky and Kasia started working for them, but tragedy struck in April when Kasia, I think she fell down some stairs or fell over a balcony or something.
No, she was sewing. And Kirsty flipped the switch.
No, you're confusing storylines there. but the Carla couldn't do anything until the morning because Kasia shouldn't have been there, so she had to kind of stay at the factory with this dead body and then kind of cover it up. So that was quite quite exciting. I think that was an edge of your seat kind of moment there. She also goes
into business with Leanne Battersby.
Yeah, how the tides have turned.
Marriage made in heaven there. Set up Valandro's restaurant.
Yeah, and that got burnt down in the end. as usually happens with the restaurants that they have. That's going to happen to the bistro one day.
I think somebody in Coronation Street on the Coronation Street production team was bitten as a child by a restaurant.
She discovered that Leanne was a prostitute back after she started business with her, and that Paul was a customer.
Now, really, that was the beginning of their woes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Paul died not long after that because he kidnapped Leanne. Do you remember he bundled her up in his in the boot of his car, and then he had a bit of a crash, and he died. Carla inherited Paul's 60% share of Underworld and started to work with her brother-in-law, Liam Connor. And also that year she started dating Tony Gordon, who was one of the clients. And that was kind of...
Tony Gordon sounds like a lovely chap.
Yeah.
Tell me more about him.
Well, I will do. But in 2008, she comes later, because she admitted to herself that she was in love with Liam by 2008.
She's in love with that lovely... servant from Downton Abbey.
Oh yeah, he was in Downton.
He is in Downton Abbey.
He was going out with Leanne, not Leanne, Maria at the time, and they were engaged. Carla tries to stop the marriage but fails.
Yeah.
And in March he accepts Tony's proposal.
Second choice, still good.
Yeah. Now when we did Maria as a character profile a few weeks ago, we talked about when she gave birth to a stillborn baby. And Carla was kind of there to comfort Liam after that happened, and ended up sleeping with him.
A bit too comforting.
Yeah, and there were also around that time, Rosie Webster caught Liam and Carla kissing and recorded them on the phone, and that was used as blackmail for quite a long time. That was quite good.
Yeah, so she blackmails Liam into selling her share of the Underworld to Tony.
Yeah. And then she secretly goes into business with Liam and Tom Kerrigan, slept with Liam again, but then was devastated when Liam was killed in the hit and run, which was orchestrated by Tony on his stag night.
Yeah, because he had seen Rosie's video.
Yeah.
He was jealous.
Yeah, so that was quite exciting.
That was very funny. That wasn't funny, that was tragic.
She just found out that Maria was pregnant again with Liam's baby.
Who was called Liam, which is a weird coincidence.
She goes off to stay with friends in America, but returns in December to marry Tony in a lavish ceremony. Maria also saw the video at the wedding, and then that was when she started
to suspect
that Tony was involved in Liam's death.
Which had seemed like an innocent accident.
Mm.
Well, it was a hit and run, wasn't it?
Yes, because in 2009, Tony confessed his part in Liam's death after Carla had basically put two and two together about it. She flees again, arranging for Luke Strong to look after her business interests at the factory. In 2009, she returns, and I think that was possibly when Alison King was off on maternity leave. And Tony's henchman, Jimmy, goes to the flat to kill Carla, but she hits him with a candlestick. It's like in Cluedo.
That flat of hers has seen some action.
Yeah, that certainly has. Now, that was quite exciting because she thought that she'd killed this guy, and Tony's
like, oh no, what have you done?
Yeah, because he sort of realised that this guy wasn't actually dead, so she ran away again.
She comes and goes.
When doing the research of this character profile, it made me realise just how much Carla has gone back and forth. No wonder she doesn't have any really strong emotional ties to the street.
But then we were saying that a lot of the times characters would just not be in it, where they just won't mention them, like when Colin Sinita suddenly appeared from nowhere after weeks of not being around.
Yeah.
Whereas they actually, when Carla leaves, she properly goes.
Yeah, I guess they kind of have to write her out properly, because you'd expect us here in the background in the factory, for example.
Put those biscuits down and get back to your machines.
Yeah.
She runs off. She comes back.
Yeah. So she'd run off, but she was called back after Tony tried to kill Roy Cropper. She tells the police about her suspicions regarding Liam's death, and Tony is sent down.
Sent down.
And then she starts business with Nick.
Brilliant.
In 2010, she started an ill-fated relationship with bin man Trevor, and I thought that was a really sweet relationship.
Well, she was the cleaner.
Yeah, and she kind of played along with it for a little bit before.
Because she knew he would be intimidated by her great success in inheriting her dead husband's business.
I thought that they made a really nice couple because he kind of brought her down to earth.
And yeah.
I think she was a bit ashamed of dating a bin man to begin with, but then she kind of like, no, there's nothing wrong with him.
Well, she's the sort of... in the great tradition of Corrie women, where when they're ashamed of something, they try to keep it to their chest. But if it becomes out and becomes well known, they sort of, backing it, going, yeah, what, you got a problem with it? It's none of your business.
Yeah. I think that somebody like Trevor would be perfect for her now. I think a really interesting storyline would be if she lost all her money and she had to sort of be a proper commoner. Rather than... sort of because she's so assured of herself at the factory and she thinks she's sort of above everyone else, I'd quite like to see her.
No.
Don't you think?
No, because all she's got left is her job.
Yeah, well, I'd quite like to see her lose that, but
no,
then...
No, she'd probably commit suicide. She's got nothing left in the world.
But if she had a nice bloke...
Yeah, but you want to take her job off her first?
Yeah.
No, Carla... at the moment is defining herself by being a businesswoman.
Mm.
So if you took that away.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and then that year Tony escaped from the prison and there was that whole factory siege.
Oh, that whole factory siege. Don't talk about that.
Yeah, that was exciting. And then he takes
Carla and Haley hostage in Underworld and
doesn't she shoot him or she tries to shoot him?
She spends a lot of time rocking back and forth on a chair, doesn't she, or something? She's like strapped to her belly office chair.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a fire.
She escapes, but Tony perishes in the flames. And then also later that year, Trevor left to patch things up with an old girlfriend. And she turned to drink to cope with the tragic life that she leads and turned to fellow alcoholic Peter Barlow for support.
Now, for me, this is when Carla... as a character, started going downhill.
Definitely.
I love Carla, but I'm so bored of every scene that she's in, where she's sitting around innocently, something bad happens, and then her eyes gaze across the room to a bottle of whiskey or something, and I always say, oh, here we go.
Yeah, considering that's been going on since 2010, it's kind of run its course now.
That it's alcoholism is a like, you can't just go, oh, I'm over it.
Mm.
And if you're going to have a character, I suppose it's your responsibility to continually reiterate the point that being an alcoholic is not something you turn off. Mm. You don't cure yourself. You're always recovering.
Yeah.
But still, as a storyline, I am bored of it.
It's a shame because Carla should be such a strong character and she's
They've just torn her down. They saw her... as like a really powerful kind of strong woman, and the most dramatic thing you can do to a character like that is just tear them to pieces.
Mm.
So in a way,
but she's not getting over it. That's the I don't mind when if they do that, but she's not getting over it, and it's I think she needs to.
I would love it if she could, because it would be a really strong message. At the same time, of course, you can argue that it's important to show people it's okay if you can't cope. Not everyone can just sort of brush it off.
No.
But yeah, as we say, things start to get from bad to worse.
Well, yeah, in 2011 when she starts dating Frank Foster.
Yes. She nearly kills Stella in a drink driving accident.
Yeah.
She confesses her feelings to Peter, but he won't...
he won't leave her because of Leanne. And then she gets engaged to Frank, but on the eve of their wedding tells him that she still loved Peter... and then that they led to the rape.
Yeah, the rape scene, which...
that was some quite powerful stuff.
Yeah, and this basically was Carla's comeuppance almost for not believing Maria when she said that something funny had happened with Frank. And Carla wasn't... well, Carla originally poo-pooed it and then sort of decided that business was too important to let... something like that get in the way.
Yeah.
But then she found herself on the wrong side of it, and things at the factory start going badly because of the way that she's not coping with it.
No.
And she ends up sacking Becky, Eileen and Sally because of lack of work.
And yeah, and then Sally had then went and started working with Frank because Sally
like
had
a duel.
Yeah, yeah. And then Sally thought that she could, like, win Frank over.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So,
and then by the end of the year, she'd started her own affair, Carlo, with Peter.
Yes. And 2012 was probably Carla's annus horribilis.
Yeah, definitely.
So here's to a much better 2013 for her if she comes back.
Yeah.
I'm sure she will.
So we've got Frank's trial, the rape trial, and his mum, Anne, along. I think Anne was in it in 2011. She was quite good. I liked her. She was quite a strong character.
She's a really posh matronly sort of women's institute kind of like bosomy.
But she's half. She, when it came to business,
yeah,
she
was like,
she took no prisoners.
I'll tell you who she was like. Margaret of The Apprentice. Like an evil version of Margaret. Do you remember Margaret?
Which one's Margaret?
The one who left. The one that Karen Brady replaced. Don't tell me you don't remember Margaret.
Oh, I can't remember. Oh, sorry.
Right, I'm going to have to pause it and I'm going to show you Michael a picture of Margaret.
Yes, yes, I definitely
remember.
Yeah,
he was thinking of The Office.
I was thinking of The Office and not The Apprentice, I don't know why. But yeah, she was just like that. She was very kind of cutthroat when it came to business.
Mind like a steel trap.
Yeah, now, do you remember at Frank's trial, Anne had the information about Peter having an affair and she kind of passed it to Leanne in the...
She wrote it on a bit of paper or something.
Yeah, and Leanne kind of called out to Peter, and then Peter couldn't give evidence properly, and that
it was like
that was how it got Frank off, basically.
It was almost like a wedding where somebody goes, "I have a reason that these two should not be wed."
Yeah. Frank, now he was a free man, offered to buy Carla's share of Underworld.
Well, doesn't he sort of rubs it in her face, really, doesn't he? He's sort of smug about it.
Yeah, and his secret girlfriend, the two of them, dupe Carla.
She signs off on a deal that she's going to sign off on a deal. Something. There was some kind of business deal that was going on that gave her a motive for what was about to happen.
Yeah. So, late one night, Carla went to confront Frank at the factory, and the next morning he winds up dead.
What?
With many enemies. Could have been anybody. It could have been Peter.
Peter,
Sally, who was the one that...
he'd been jilted.
Yeah. Could have been Carla, obviously. Could have been Kevin.
I can't remember why.
It could have been Michelle. They were all suspects. But then it turned out that it was Anne.
It was Margaret all along. That's why she left The Apprentice.
I did not like that whodunit, because...
No one did.
It was... so obvious to me that it was his mum.
I think we all guessed it was her, and then we were like, it can't be her because it's so obvious.
And then they were saying, oh, who is it out of these five people?
Yeah, they didn't even list her, did they?
No, but so I didn't like that storyline. That was very silly this year.
But how can they, these days though, how can they get over that because of the internet? As soon as they have anything like that, if there was one of these murder mysteries now, we'd spend the next 3 hours on the podcast saying all the people that we think it could be, and we would be right at one point because we'd suggest everybody. They can't win.
Yeah, I think the fact that it was a non-long-term character, she was going to be leaving anyway, so it was obviously going to be her. Anyway, Carlo gets Frank's share of Underworld because he never changed his will.
Stucker.
And then later that year, she supported Peter in his custody battle for Simon, but he loses. So
yes,
they tried to whisk Simon away.
He loses a custody battle with a woman who isn't even related to the
child. So they tried to whisk Simon away with them, but Michelle finds out and stops them. But Peter
they
and Carla go off anyway. And
that's why Leanne was so frantic when Simon went missing today.
Because of them.
He had form.
Yeah. And then they come back.
They come back and Peter's a changed man, but Carla's still haunted by the ghosts of her past. Mm.
Now, Carla, or Alison King, has won a couple of awards for her portrayal as Carla. In 2008, she got the Best Bitch in the Inside Soap Awards. And this year, a much better award, she got the Best Actress at the 2012 British Soap Awards.
Yeah,
what do you think? Well deserved?
Yes, I think so.
I think that she does that really well. She's very, very believable.
I don't think today's leaving scene was her finest moment.
No.
She looked like she was laughing at one point.
Yeah, in general though, she's very good at making you kind of believe her and feel sorry for her.
Yeah,
she's
like
a strong character.
I find her likeable, even though, to be honest, recently she hasn't done anything.
No, they need to get her out of this rut that she's in with her alcoholism. Then she's another character who's very, very isolated. She doesn't seem to have anyone.
Well, she seems to be related to everyone who's ever owned the factory.
Yeah.
But that's not a reason enough, really.
She's only ever in storylines with Peter, Leanne, Simon, Michelle, Rob now. And that's it. And I'd quite like to see her do something with...
She doesn't have any friends apart from Michelle, who's a member of the family.
No, she doesn't have any friends, does she?
She's so many times she's been pushed into a corner, come back fighting, and you think, yeah, Carla's back on top again. Mm. And she's all bolshy. But then it's revealed it's actually just the hardened exterior of a brittle, fragile woman who's about to break at any minute.
Yeah.
I just wanted to sort of... I wish she'd learn some kind of yoga.
I want some kind of happy ending for her.
I don't need a happy ending for her. I just want her to sort of come out fighting properly this time and stay.
When do you think she'll be back? Because she obviously will be.
Well, I don't think
Christmas or...
I don't know. It feels like so much is going to happen at Christmas. Even though I don't know anything about what's going to happen. There's obviously adverts on telly with like tear-stained Leanne.
Yeah.
Which means the wedding's going to be a hit. I don't know if she's going to be back at Christmas. Seems like it'd be a story thread too many.
Maybe. I'd be interested to know when they do bring her back for good, what her reason is for staying, because she was so adamant this week that she's not going to stay in Weatherfield anymore. There's got to be something that convinces her to stay. But I can't think what that can be.
I can't think of anything. I mean, Peter is the sort of her love, really.
Yeah.
But she's been through men before.
Mm. Something at the factory, maybe.
I don't know.
Well, we shall see. Let's move on to some news now. Okay, not very much news this week. We've got a few... Well, we're going to talk about the Corrie Christmas schedules briefly for our UK listeners. So, there's going to be an episode on Christmas Eve.
Monday, 24th of December.
For 1 hour. Then there's another 7:30. One. Yeah, then there's another one on Christmas Day for another hour. 7:30. Boxing Day as well.
Got to say the time.
7:30.
Yes, that's 3 days of Coronation Street back to back.
Yeah.
It's like living in Canada.
On Friday the 28th of December, there's going to be just one episode.
About 7:30.
Yeah, then one on New Year's Eve. There's
going to
be
two. We can't watch that one because we're going to a party.
Yeah. Wednesday the 2nd of January at 7:30, and then Friday the 4th of January, 7:30 and 8:30.
So that one's kind of normal?
That's kind of back to normal. It's just the few over Christmas that people need to watch out for. We need to look out for it because we're going to be at my mum and dad's house, and nobody knows that we do the podcast. And we've got to take notes somehow. I don't know how what we're going to do there. We either got to tell people that we do the podcast, and I don't really want to do that.
It's
a little secret.
It's easier to be free with your opinions when you are unafraid of people coming around and going, what the hell were you talking about yesterday?
Yeah, so I either tell people or we have to watch it twice.
Can you not take notes discreetly? Can you not remember?
No. So anyway, that is the Corrie schedules, but then there's also a few specials on that we mentioned previously. So on the 21st of December at 8, there's the ITV1 Text Santa appeal, which is going to have the little mini Coronation Street special with Liz Dornan. That should be quite good. On the 24th of December, we've got the Christmas carols that we were very enthusiastic about last episode. And then on Friday the 28th of December, there's going to be a new episode of the Corrie Years, which is good. All about Corrie at Christmas.
That'd be nice and festive.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much they could choose from as well. I really hope that
they seem to have quite often a Christmas-themed episode. There's always.
Well, I hope that they use this as an opportunity to show some old clips as well as modern ones, because they could very easily just choose clips from the last 10 years.
Yeah, of course
but
they could.
There's been good Christmas storylines right back from the beginning.
They probably want to have a holiday too. They're just going to pick the easiest. Just going to go, let's just do a recap of what happened.
Yeah, I think we'll see Running Over the Turkey at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Derek Wilton dressed up as Father Christmas sneaking around on top of the buildings and being spotted by a drunk Jack. That would be quite good to see. But there's loads of good Corrie Christmas moments, so that should be a good one to watch out for. Second bit of news this week, it's not even really news, it's just a rumour. Possibility that Bruce Jones, who played Les Battersby, and Wendy Peters, who played Scylla, could be on Celebrity Big Brother come January. And this is hot on the heels of Julie Goodyear being in the last Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah, so, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they'd be any good as Big Brother contestants?
It's always hard when an actor or actress who's played a larger-than-life character appears on the television.
Yeah, they'll be expected to be like that. And Wendy Peters isn't really, is she?
They have to either live up to their reputation or they have to refute it utterly.
Mm.
And
now, I know that Bruce Jones has been having lots of problems with alcohol since leaving Coronation Street.
I don't really want to see somebody self-destruct.
He's been bankrupt. I think it could be quite a bad move if he's in it. But Wendy Peters, I'd like to see. Not that we'll watch it, but
no.
Anyway, keep an eye out for that because I assume that's starting in the new year. Last bit of news, go on.
Yeah, there's not very much.
Not much happening this week.
But I got the Christmas edition of the Radio Times and noticed there was a little interview here with Michelle Keegan, who plays, forgotten her name.
Tina.
plays Tina. And she's talking about how she first started in Coronation Street, and she, before she worked there, she worked in a check-in desk at Manchester Airport.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw Jack P. Shepherd, who plays David Platt, and his girlfriend, and she was really nervous because she didn't want them to come over because she didn't know what she'd say, but she had to check him in. And then a year later, she joined Corey to play his girlfriend, which is a bit of a strange twist of events.
I haven't read this interview.
She was working in Selfridges on a makeup counter and went to the School of Acting in Manchester for 2 hours a week and went to the Corey audition and got the part. And she says that she still feels quite starstruck by being in the experience and that fame is sort of completely blown up, really. it kind of went a bit mad. And the headline, or the byline on the article says that all she wants for Christmas is a real baby bump.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. She says she's always wanted to be a mum. And she also gives a bit of a spoiler here because it says, I keep on wanting to rub the baby bump, which is made of sponge.
Oh.
So obviously nothing horrible happens before the baby gets big enough to require a fake stomach. And she also says that she doesn't get to see the other scenes, so when she watches it, if she's not in the bits, she totally doesn't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you get some actors that do that. Some of them know everything that's going to be going on, and others kind of just watch their scenes. What do you think you would do? Would you want
to? Well, because we were to be given a part on Coronation Street, it was a bizarre twist of fate. we would be coming into it as people who have watched Coronation Street, not as people who have wanted to be actors.
Yeah.
If I was an actor, I wouldn't want to watch everything I was in if I wasn't interested in it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's quite a lot of time to spend.
Yeah.
We enjoy every second, but if we were, if it was something really boring, like if I was in Sharp or something, some kind of boring war film.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to watch that.
And she also mentions about winning the sexiest female. She was very gracious, and she said it's flattering, and she is chuffed. But what could she say? Oh, I don't want to be known as being sexy. I want to be known for my mind.
Yeah, my intelligent type stuff.
Yeah, so she looks very nice. She's wearing a sparkly silver dress, in case anyone wanted to know.
Good. That is what loosely can be described as news for this week.
That was Gemma's magazine interview corner.
Let's do a bit of feedback. Okay, so we're going to start off the feedback section this week with an audio clip we've been sent by Jason Jones, who's told us what he thinks about this week's episode. So here's Jason's comments.
G'day, my name's Jason, and this is the Coronation Street point of view for myself for this week. Well, this week we saw the return of Carla and Peter. Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm really, really fed up with both of them. I think they're very selfish and very arrogant and don't have a care for the one person, well, especially Peter, one person that is important to, and that's Simon. I'm actually thinking that Peter's turning very much like his dad. with his kids. I know it's a slightly different story. Kids gone up to Scotland and to live and so forth. I think he's at that stage where that's actually happening with Peter as such. I'm be honest with you. I'm quite stunned with the amount of hatred with Leanne and in regards to it. I know she is pretty boring, but this guy needs to. Peter needs to be absolutely prove himself that he's back for good. And to me, perfectly, hopefully it is a flirting visit. And because I must admit, I've actually enjoyed Coronation Street in the past couple of months since they've been away. I don't know whether it's the acting that's been improved or so forth. Maybe the storyline's a little bit better, but it has improved. Also, I want to talk about this lingering Tyrone Kirsty storyline. I think it's one of the most well-played storylines. I'm a bit annoyed that with the storyline with a couple of weeks ago where Tyrone was ready to go and then he came back to be married. I really would have loved to see the marriage on Christmas Day kick up and so forth, but it's not the case. I just don't know about Kirsty. I just don't know the acting and so forth. From day one, the storyline is great, but I don't know if it's the acting or just something is amiss with it. I can't point a finger to it. Anyway, before I finish, there was the most funniest quote I found in, I think it was the 13th of December's episode of finally, Dennis Tanner actually is using a quote of Elsie Tanner about the Naki Yard quote. I actually had a bit of a chuckle in regards to us. Anyway, that's it for me. Have a good day and stay safe on the streets, whether fictional or real. Goodbye.
So there you go, our very first audio comment. If anyone else would like to send us in themselves saying what they think, then just email it over to us at conversationstreet@gmail.com. Gemma's now going to carry on with our emails.
We've had an email from Tivor. Mm-hmm. Tivor. She was mentioning Sally, who came over to... was the only one who really was supportive of Tina when... Well, it was Gary and Izzy she spoke to when it all was revealed that Tina was the surrogate. And she says... Sally only came over all sympathetic to the surrogacy so she could get some more inside gossip.
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
I don't see the big scandal either. What's the big deal? She's carrying a baby for someone that can't have one. It's not weird or freakish. Doing it for money is a bit shady. But even so, it's not the end of the world. Tommy demanding an abortion is not on at all, and it's an emotional blackmail. Abortion is a choice, but this baby is wanted, and there's no danger to Tina's health.
Mm-hmm.
That is a relevant point, really, because although... I think it is up to each individual woman, but obviously legally you can only have an abortion if it's going to damage your health. It's mentally or physically.
Right, okay.
So really the thing that would be the threat to Tina's health mentally is bloody Tommy.
Yeah.
Bugged off now. So really there's no need.
There's no threat anymore.
Exactly. And then she goes on to talk about Jason and Stella, and she agrees with you on that front. She says, "Ew, worst rebound ever." Years ago, when Jason worked with Charlie Stubbs, Charlie introduced him to the delights of bored housewives, and the one we saw Jason's snog was played by Alison King, who now plays Carla. She wouldn't have been that much older than Jason at the time, surely no more than 10 years, and there's a vast difference between Alison King and Carla and Michelle Collins' Stella.
Yeah.
There's about 10 years difference.
I don't like this Jason and Stella storyline. It's very gross.
Well, I think Stella's going to come off the worst out of it because she already feels vulnerable.
Yeah.
She's always thinking, like, a woman is always thinking about how old she looks, or how does she stand up to what's the ideal, you know, what's the most beautiful, you know, who, what do you look like, basically. And yeah. So a woman in that situation, I suppose, that earlier when I was talking about Ken and Deirdre, Ken's obviously the older of the two.
Mm.
So the age difference isn't quite as taxing on their relationship. But I do think that, like, that she did mention this today when Jason came down the stairs, like, oh, wait, I haven't got my face on, oh, don't look at me, sort of thing.
Yeah, but she's now parading him around as her toy boy, so it's obviously going to come and bite her in the bum. Well, she's only doing
that to rub it in their faces, wasn't she? I don't think she would have chosen to have done it like that. She'd
And if they split up, I think it's not going to make any difference to Jason at all. He'll be able to find somebody
Jason
like that.
Jason will just brush it off, because he's only after her, really, for her sexy bod and those lovely dresses.
Yeah.
Which I discovered she gets her dresses from the same place that Nigella Lawson occasionally does, which is something called the Pretty Dress Company or something.
We've had another email from Steve saying, I've just listened to episode 16 and you were commenting about how great it must be to watch Corrie every night. So this is from Canada. Our normal Corrie schedule is 30 minutes. The 1 hour episodes are broken in half each night at 7:30.
That's annoying.
Yeah, but while catching up, it was 1 hour a night for a little under a year.
That would drive me mad.
You imagine having to do the podcast if we had we 5 hours a night.
Do that.
We couldn't. I must admit, though, that during the dry spells,
an hour a night.
Yes.
That's like when we watched, when we used to watch Big Brother, and I used to get really angry, and I was like, "This is just sucking up my life."
I must admit, though, that during the dry spells in some of the storylines, it was quite daunting to watch, especially if you fell behind a bit and were catching up on a couple of days.
Imagine watching 2 hours of like really boring Corrie where nothing happens.
Yeah, the half-hour episodes are also rebroadcast on Sunday mornings, which is great when you're lazy and just don't want to get off the couch.
They do that here, don't they?
I've never watched it all like
occasionally
that.
On a Sunday you'll be flicking through the telly when you're around some, like, your grand's house or something, and there'll be either EastEnders or Coronation Street on in the afternoon.
Yeah. And he goes on to say, the one downside of being only 2 weeks behind is not being able to read ahead and see what's going to happen, and when there is a storyline that you aren't interested in, for him, any storyline involving the Platts or the Barlows.
Oh, you've had a bad week.
In the past, I would have read ahead to see what becomes of Kirsty, but now I have to suffer through in case there isn't any interesting plot points.
That's quite funny, because you could pick and choose.
Yeah,
and thought
you
could
see
like
when
that.
Choose when to watch it.
I remember years ago when we used to... Neighbours was a big thing here. It's not so big now, because they've moved it off of... Was it on BBC
One? It was on BBC One, yeah.
And I remember the first time I learned that we were actually something like 2 years behind Australia, and I had no idea that we weren't watching it, you know, like when it was produced. And then all these rumours started with these kids coming in and saying, oh, guess what's happened? So-and-so's left thingy's died, so-and-so murdered thingamabob. And you were like, oh my God, it's not possible, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of being too far behind. It's like when, like, we watched Desperate Housewives and they were a couple of months in front of us. I didn't like that.
Well, I mean, Lost.
Yeah.
Things like that where people... I don't like things being spoiled.
No. You can... If we had to totally try and avoid Lost spoilers, didn't we?
Couldn't watch anything or listen to
couldn't look
to
on
anything.
The internet, but luckily we weren't that far behind.
No.
We had a message on Facebook from D. Logan. This is a week and a half or so ago, saying, a warm hello from the currently very cold northern British Columbia, Canada. I just discovered your podcast the other day and am enjoying listening to your most recent episodes. I really like the character profiles you do. Looking forward to your next episode. It's great to be able to keep up with the storylines. We used to be 9 months behind the UK in episodes. Yeah, so...
So that would mean that somebody could have a baby and be born before you knew they were pregnant.
So, yeah, welcome to Conversation Street, D. I also asked on Facebook this week how people feel about Peter and Carla's return.
Yeah, Stephen Feldman said, glad to have them back, just not so keen on the storylines they have been given by the writers. I'd love for them to come back and go on a different course rather than the same old, getting fed up by the recycled storylines coming from Corrie.
Yeah, that's like what we've been saying about all the booze.
I think, to be honest, because I read this I read this comment before we recorded, and it did set me into that thing of thinking,
actually, there has been a lot of
repetition. I am a bit sick of it.
Even though they've only just come back, you're kind of a bit sick of it already.
Yeah, Rob Innes says, Carla, yes. Peter, not so much. I can't believe the writers think there is any more longevity in
longevity.
This... in this Love Square story, Peter came back so chilled. Looks like he swapped booze for cannabis, in my opinion.
Possibly.
Tracy Lansky, I don't get to see their return for another couple of weeks in Canada. I love reading the spoilers, though. Spoiled it.
Yeah, and that is it for feedback this week.
Well, I have a question for people.
Go on.
I want to know what it would be your ultimate fantasy Christmas storyline. If you could construct a story for the Christmas special from any characters or any storylines, go anywhere or do anything, what would you have happen?
Because all the spoilers about what's actually going to happen in Christmas are all out and available now for anyone that wants to see them.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I only know a little bit.
I heard there's going to be a wedding.
Well, there has been one booked already, hasn't there, between Liam and Nick. But yeah, what would you like to happen at Christmas? And this,
even if it's something ridiculous, like Jack and Vera come back as zombies and bite Steve, he becomes the zombie king, and Carla becomes like Xena Warrior Princess.
That's not very Christmassy.
Overcomes her alcoholism and rides off in Santa's sleigh. Does that make it more festive?
Yeah. So what would you, even if it involves bringing back old characters, because to be honest, the way things are looking at the moment, I think for me to have my perfect Cory Christmas, they'd have to bring back a couple of old characters.
I would like Becky to come back.
Yeah, that'd be good.
She can work in the butchers.
So I'll put something on Facebook for if anyone would like to share their Cory fantasy Christmases.
Not that kind of fantasy. Just
not Jason in his pants kind of fantasy.
No. So you can email us your clean fantasies at conversationstreet@gmail.com. Visit the website at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can leave us an iTunes review. You can find us on Twitter at conversationstreet or search for Conversation Street on Facebook.
Yeah, there are lots of ways to join in the conversation. We'll be back next week. Now, we're going out for a Christmas dinner next Friday night, so who knows?
Why do you sound so, this is your work, do?
Yeah, so who knows when we're going to get to record
this? I don't have a work, do. Never have work, do. So, we will maybe be a bit later next week, but
we'll still be there. We'll still get uploaded next weekend.
And there shouldn't be any problems with us releasing on the weekends over the holidays. Cause
it should be okay.
Yeah.
So, hope you enjoyed this episode.
Very long.
Yeah. See you next time.
Catch you later.
The music for this podcast came from podcastthemes.com.